Welcome to I'm Not Supposed to Be Here, the podcast. Chapter 7. We'll continue where Eddie's story left off in the last episode.
I'm excited to delve deeper into Eddie's journey. Chapter 7 sounds intense.
It is. 2 months have passed since the band's last setback. The initial disappointment over Jalen James' departure is slowly lifting, replaced by a sense of healing and renewal. They're still touring, but the atmosphere is undeniably different.
The absence of Jalen must be profoundly felt. How does the band cope with this significant loss?
The narrative highlights the emotional toll. The stage feels emptier. The harmonies are incomplete, and the friendship's warmth is tinged with bittersweet memories. The constant companion on their journey? Change.
Eddie mentions enduring criticism and ridicule from various sources. This suggests a level of public scrutiny and negativity that most bands never face.
Precisely. He mentions the press shitting on them, which underscores the relentless nature of their challenges. But importantly, the band was intact at this point. This is significant. The fracture comes later.
How does Eddie address this challenge? The band's future hangs in the balance.
He doubles down. He tasks Mauro with securing bookings across Europe, Sweden, Switzerland, the Netherlands, filling the void with work. This proactive approach reveals a commitment to the band's survival. It also highlights Eddie's leadership in this moment of crisis. He's taking control.
The expansion into new markets is an interesting strategic move. It shows adaptability and resilience. But is this merely a business decision, or is there a deeper emotional motivation at play?
I think it's both. The act of booking shows and collaborating with other artists serves as a form of coping. It's a distraction from grief, but it's also a deliberate choice to keep moving forward. He needs this. This is his purpose. It's almost a self-preservation mechanism.
The narrative then shifts to Haskovo, Bulgaria. This is where things get really interesting. They're performing in a stadium. The atmosphere is described as positive and vibrant. It is described as a summer's day, everyone in flip-flops and shorts.
It's a stark contrast to their internal struggles. The scene vividly depicts a disconnect. Eddie is on a parade float, waving to a crowd that mostly seems oblivious to who he is. It's almost comical. He has these grand visions of crowds cheering, flower petals, all this romanticized idea of success, but reality falls short.
There's a fascinating juxtaposition here. The external success, the stadium shows, the parade, doesn't translate into personal fulfillment. This underscores his underlying insecurities and the fear of not mattering.
It does. The desire to be important, to leave a mark, is palpable. The fear of anonymity is deeply rooted in his narrative. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
The night before the shows, Eddie's mind is racing, plagued by self-doubt. He fears the shows might fall flat, the music might fail to resonate. This internal conflict is palpable. He's carrying the weight of his band, of his hopes, of his dreams.
Absolutely. He's torn between keeping his stress to himself and sharing it with his bandmates. He chooses the former, but the emotional weight shows in his interactions with the band. The tension is thick and suffocating.
He describes himself as a songwriter, singer, psychologist, and counselor. This multifaceted role highlights the immense pressure and responsibility he bears. It also reveals an unexpected depth of empathy and concern. He's more than just a frontman.
He's a leader. He's navigating immense challenges with remarkable grace. Hope emerges as a crucial survival mechanism. It's a coping mechanism, helping to manage his emotions and navigate challenges. He discusses the power of hope, its contagious nature, its ability to uplift the spirits. He's even praying.
The concert in Haskovo becomes a pivotal moment. The audience's enthusiastic reception serves as validation and affirmation. The pure electricity in the atmosphere is almost tangible.
It's cathartic. The audience's response becomes a testament to their success. But it's more than just success. It's a testament to the power of perseverance. It's a victory, a triumph against uncertainty and self-doubt.
The following days bring more success and fulfilling interactions with fans. Eddie talks of meeting fans, and every night he's filled with a sense of fulfillment.
This, however, is juxtaposed by an email from Porfirio Pena at BMI in New York. He reveals that an investigation into stolen royalties has concluded, and the culprit is Mauro Catalini, his manager.
This revelation is a devastating betrayal. The trust between Eddie and Mauro has been utterly shattered. The scale of the theft is significant, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The emotional impact is profound. It's not just about the financial loss. It's about the breach of trust, the violation of a personal relationship. This is a devastating blow.
Eddie's reaction is a mix of anger, disbelief, and hurt. He recounts a long history of being mistreated and overlooked by others in the industry. He's endured unfair contracts and criticisms. This might suggest that his feelings of hurt are not unfounded, that he might not be as naive as he seems. I could never forgive someone for something like that.
The betrayal by Mauro highlights the darker side of the music industry, a side that's often overlooked. It's one of predatory behavior. Then the story shifts back to a past encounter with Erwin Perez, a journalist whom he describes as consistently negative and biased. He recounts how Perez displayed unnecessary hostility. Perez's behavior at the party is even more revealing. His anger towards Eddie is about Eddie's success. It's about Eddie making a fool of him. It's about his jealousy.
There is a clear pattern of behavior here. It's about a cycle of abuse, of exploitation, fueled by jealousy and resentment. It makes one wonder how many other artists have suffered similar fates. This should serve as a warning for those seeking fame and fortune.
Exactly. Eddie ends the chapter by declaring his intention to fight back, to take some kind of retribution. He won't be passive any longer. This is a turning point. He's not just surviving anymore. He's fighting.
What a compelling and complex chapter. It's left me wondering several things. What actions will Eddie take against Mauro? Will he pursue legal action? How will this betrayal affect his band and their future? Will the experience change Eddie's perception of himself? Will he find a new manager? Will he ever trust someone again?
Excellent questions. These are precisely the cliffhangers we'll be addressing in our next episode. Until then, we invite you to follow, share, and subscribe. Listen to the next episode to find out what happens. And don't forget to watch the award-winning docuseries on Tubi. Listen to the audiobook and soundtrack of the motion picture I'm Not Supposed to Be Here. Visit imnotsupposedtobehere.com and tokidakeda.com. And most importantly, join us next time to discover whether Eddie's dream will finally become a reality.